The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It's Friday of Week 5. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and of course Daniel Dopp here to get you ready for all things that we have ahead. But Matthew, as I say good morning to you, it is a busy, busy morning of news.
Well, here's the first thing that, you know, you just said. We're going to get you ready for all the things we have ahead. We don't know what's ahead, Field.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to make light of this, but it is, again, in an unprecedented year in our country and an unprecedented year in the NFL. It's an insane year in fantasy football, and Week 5 figures to be the most complicated of our young season so far.
All right, so one note before some notes. It's 10 o'clock Eastern time when we are conducting this podcast. For those that are watching live, you obviously know that. For those that are listening to the audio version, just we mention that because news could change by the time the show goes off the air at 11. It could change at 3 p.m. today. It could change on Saturday morning. It could change on Sunday morning. So do us a favor.
It could change in 10 minutes.
It could. Check us out. Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2 because we think on Sunday we'll have even more information. But this is the latest information that we have, and much of this comes courtesy of Adam Schefter, or it has been announced by the NFL itself. The Bills and Titans game, which was scheduled to be played Sunday in Nashville, has been moved to Tuesday night. The game is contingent upon no more positive tests from the Tennessee Titans, and this morning, Friday morning, there were no new positive tests, so we inched closer to the game being played.
I'm going to interrupt you for one quick second to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do we have a sense yet from the NFL what happens if there is a positive test? So it's great news that the Titans had no positive tests. But if, for example, later today or tomorrow or something like that, that one of the Titans or multiple Titans players test positive again, what happens to this game? Do we know?
Yeah, this is contingent upon no new positive tests.
I understand.
So
that.
If there are, yes, then we expect the postponement of this game.
Okay.
To a separate week, and it opens up a kettle of fish, that can of worms, whatever the expression is, that hopefully we don't have to go down that path.
I prefer a kettle of corn.
Kettle of corn. Okay.
Have you ever had kettle corn?
Have I had kettle corn? Of course I have.
It's so good.
It is delicious. It's also seasonal. The Patriots and Broncos game, which was scheduled for actually originally 1 p.m. and then moved back like 2 weeks ago to 4:25, is now going to be played Monday night. Well, early evening, 5 p.m. right here on ESPN, as a matter of fact. So Patriots Broncos have been pushed back by a day. That also is contingent upon no more new positive tests. And the Patriots, again, did not have any new positive tests this morning. They are going to work virtually again today and perhaps virtually tomorrow. But there's a chance the Patriots, I should say, as they currently stand, the Patriots will host the Broncos on Monday night. Now, there's one more piece of news, and this came on, this came up about 5 minutes before we went on the air. The Jets have been sent home from work. Jets players and coaches and presumably everybody in the building has been sent home from the facility this morning after what Adam Schefter is reporting is a presumptive positive player test this morning. Of course, this player will be retested later on today, and the Jets may find out that this was not a positive for this player. But if it is a positive test, then we might have some contingencies that need to be explored. The Jets are scheduled to host the Cardinals on Sunday. The Cardinals are flying today west to east, obviously, to help acclimate their bodies a little bit.
To that point, Shefty just tweeting now as well, Cardinals are scheduled to leave for New York today, so now there are questions whether they can leave to fly east for Sunday's game against the Jets. So as I suspect they are currently on the tarmac, or they have not boarded that plane yet. So that's up
in the air. Yeah, they wouldn't leave at 7 a.m. on a Friday morning. They would leave at some point this afternoon. It may be that they push their flight back a few hours. But before we get into all the fantasy strategy, and we have some really, really important updates here that the Games Group has provided us, we want to get Stefania here. Let's talk macro for a second, Stefania. If you can contextualize some of the news from this morning and maybe even that last bit of news for the Jets, because while the Jets aren't chock full of fantasy players, the Cardinals have a couple that are stars, and there are a lot of potential fallouts from this latest information.
Right. Well, presumed positive means that they are going to treat this individual as if they are definitively positive. So that means isolate and The goal for the NFL, number one, we've said it before, is to mitigate spread. And that's why everybody is sent home. So the hope is that if this one individual is confirmed positive, that it has not spread, that it will not spread from this point forward. And then they would continue testing. Again, presumed positive means they treat that person as a positive player until, as you mentioned, they get a confirmatory test or a subsequent test that clears that person of being positive. As far as the Titans go, I think this is the biggest question mark because Matthew asked a great question saying,
thank you, Stefania.
Yeah. Well, the reason being,
you didn't have to sound so surprised when you said it.
No, I know. I'm not surprised. Everybody's been very thoughtful on this topic, but I think the situation with Tennessee is really unique. You know, we're seeing the isolated positive tests here and there, again, something that was potentially expected, you know, again, working within a pandemic. But in Tennessee, we've had an outbreak. That's clear. And now with the reports of players gathering after the facility was closed, it really becomes important when was the last time that those individuals were in contact with one another. Because we thought that we had a clear situation where Tennessee was going to be able to go back to their facility on Wednesday after two consecutive days of no new positive tests. And then lo and behold, there was another positive test. And we come to find out that there's been potential transmission beyond the last day they were all together in the facility. And that's why Tennessee remains the biggest question mark. So again, good news for Tennessee this morning, but they are not out of the woods yet. New England, obviously, they're doing well. Again, they're going to work remotely and hope that there are no new positive tests. And then we'll wait and see about the Jets.
All right, so now let's get to the updates from the Games Group. And I want you to all listen carefully here because these are important considerations.
And I think this is important just to underline real quickly. When you say the Games Group, we're talking about ESPN Fantasy Games. So we know that there are players that play elsewhere. We can't speak to that. We only want to talk to the millions of people that play with us here at ESPN.
All right, so yesterday there was an update release. This may have actually been Wednesday, but the point still stands. There's an update that now allows leagues that have league managers, which is almost all leagues, but for those that maybe joined a public league with nine or more strangers,
right,
that just don't have a league manager, this does not apply to those leagues. But again,
correct,
the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people play in leagues that have league managers. We call them commissioners as well. You are now allowed to add IR slots to your league, which previously the setting was you had to do so before the draft. So if you only have one IR slot, and your commissioner says, you know what, let's add a second IR slot.
I didn't think
slot.
This through.
Yes.
I didn't listen to Matthew at the beginning
That's
of the season.
Right.
I sort of just, whatever.
And some people do, in full disclosure, yeah, just adopt default settings.
Correct.
Because that's the easy and default way things
right,
about going about it. So if you have a league manager, instruct him or her, if you'd like, or at least talk to him or her, in consultation with your league mates about the possibility of adding one, maybe two additional IR slots. And that
you can add, I believe, a total of four.
So that would be good news to have extra flexibility. And that dovetails importantly with this next point. And I want you to, again, this is going to take a little bit of time to get it all out. But if the Titans-Bills game does not happen in week five, this upcoming week, which would mean if Tuesday is not played, players on the Titans will be marked as out and will be therefore IR eligible. Now, players on the Bills will also be marked out if the schedule is not shuffled in a way that makes this week their only bye. If this ends up being their only bye week, the players will be treated the same way the Titans and players were treated last week. So think of it this way.
Yep.
If the Bills have their bye in week five because this game is postponed, those players will be out, but they will not become IR eligible.
Right, just the same way that Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford are not IR eligible this week. They're not playing. It's their bye week this week. So, right, the Titans have already had their bye. It was week four last week against the Steelers when that game got pushed. So the Titans technically had their bye in week four.
Yep.
Obviously, they can't have two byes. So if that game gets postponed and scheduled, then that's why those players would be deemed as out,
yep,
and eligible for you to put Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, what have you, on your IR spot. But yes, as Field was saying here, there's a chance that if this game gets postponed, the NFL decides, you know what, when we reconfigure the schedule, we're just going to make week five the Buffalo Bills bye week. And if that's the case, then obviously you can't use an IR spot on a player that's just on a bye.
And you can plan going forward that if a team is forced into an additional bye beyond their scheduled bye, or perhaps a bye that's already taken place, as we know the Packers and Lions, plus Steelers and Titans, have already had their bye now, that those players, under those circumstances, would be IR eligible after the NFL had made the scheduling adjustments. That's all important there. And certainly, you can find this all on ESPN.com if there's any lack of clarity. There is a game update there. One more reminder, and I think people probably already knew this, but just to reiterate, the Titans-Bills game that is scheduled for Tuesday, if it's played on Tuesday, it will be part of Week 5. It right. will not be part of Week 6. This won't be the beginning of your Week 6 matchup.
Nope.
It will be part of Week 5. Waivers will run as scheduled in almost, again, the overwhelming majority of leagues. They are unimpacted by all these changes. But use this as a template going for things going forward, because as much as I would love for this to be the last time that we're worrying about COVID scheduling complications, I expect it to be the last time until next week, when I expect there potentially to be more scheduling conflicts. It's just the world we live in right now.
I expect there to be more. I mean, this afternoon, like we found out 5 minutes that there's a chance now that the Jets and Cardinals game is in jeopardy. We just don't know. Like, I mean, it is all uncharted territory.
It is.
And so I want to talk two
Let's
things.
Let's talk strategy.
Here. Let's talk strategy here. Well, first off, I want to talk quickly to commissioners, and then we will move into just
Great.
Strategy. But what I would say is that this is what I said last week. And so if you are the commissioner of a league, and this is what I've done in the league that I'm a commissioner of, we do a league between, you know, Field and Stefania and myself and some friends of the podcast. We have a little private podcast, Friends of the Podcast League, and I'm the commissioner of that league. And so what I sent out last week, and I'll send it out again today, is that, hey, if you have a player in the Titans-Bills game, and what you can do is you can send me the name of somebody on your bench that's currently on your roster that you designated as a backup. The idea being that, let's say you have Derrick Henry and you're like, and you have a running back on your bench. You have, you know, I'm making it
Mark
up.
Ingram. Mark Ingram's on your bench.
Mark Ingram's on your bench, as well as should be. So, but what you could say is you could say, hey, if Derrick Henry can't go, Mark Ingram is my designated backup. So if that game gets postponed Tuesday morning, before you could make any adjustments, then what I would do as commissioner is I'd go in to the league manager tools on ESPN and I would put Mark Ingram's game in there retroactively. I would set your lineup Field for you with Mark Ingram in Derrick Henry's spot. And these decisions need to be made, you know, kind of pointing out who your designated fill-in is before kickoff at Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Right.
Now, the last thing so I think that's important to do. And I've seen some other people on Twitter, people that I respect, people that I like, other, you know, fantasy football analysts say that, like, that's baloney. You know, hey, it is what it is. This is the game. This is the world we live in. That's fantasy football. You rolls your dice. You takes your chances, all that kind of stuff. I disagree with that. I couldn't disagree with more, because that's not the game we play. The game we play has games that are scheduled. You know, injuries happen. You know, late scratches happen. Bye weeks are a part of it. Injuries are part of it. But stuff like this, where games get postponed at the very last second before you can do anything with the rest of your lineup, that doesn't happen. That is not part of our game. And more importantly than any of that, Field, just a philosophical point of view that I have here, and I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anyone that's read me or listened to me for years, is that, guys, we play this game for fun. It's fun. And you know what's not fun is sitting there on Tuesday morning and go, I just lost my first round pick because the Titans aren't going to play. And now what do I do with Derrick Henry? Like, that's not fun, man. Like, I just, you know what I mean? I would appeal to anyone that is sitting here, you know, talking about the sanctity of the game or the integrity of fantasy football to be like, man, look, this is a hobby. We all do this for fun, to relax. And it's been such a stressful year in so many aspects that, and fantasy football this year has been more stressful than ever because of all the unknown going around the league. Like, what are you going to do to add to it? Like, as a commissioner, make the league that you play in, make your league mates happier, more relaxed, more fun. Like, just what are we doing here? So that's what I would just say is this. It's like, in the grand scheme of things, and there's going to be things that come up that we don't know, my appeal to commissioners would be very simply, use common sense, be a good person. Ultimately, this is for fun. I know some leagues play for money, obviously. I get it. But you know what? Like, just err on the side of fun and common sense and being just a decent person.
Okay, that's a good starting point there for the strategy of it. Let's get into a few more sort of specific pieces of strategy.
Correct.
If you have a Titans-Bills player, and I understand that any game could be put in peril, but given the outbreak in Tennessee, I think we can all agree that it feels like that one has been teetering on edge more than every other game for this weekend. First piece of advice would be this. If you have Derrick Henry, for example, and he's a flex-eligible player, any Bills or Titans player that is flex-eligible, put those players in your flex spot. Because if we were to find out, for example, at 3:30 on Sunday that game has been pushed back, if you
postponed,
if you had put Derrick Henry, if you'd left him in your running back spot, but the only reasonable player left on your bench is a wide receiver, well, obviously you can't sub that wide receiver in for Derrick Henry.
Correct.
So start here. If you have a star player from the Titans or Bills, and to a degree the Patriots and the Broncos, and obviously if things change quickly here with the Cardinals and the Jets, maybe them as well, keep that flex spot in mind. Put your best player in that flex spot.
Right.
Second piece.
I would also add to that is that as you're fortifying your bench, right, to give yourself some flexibility, I would look for somebody on the Chargers or the Saints.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All right, fine.
So piece of information one we'll get there in just a second. Yeah. Part of the note.
All right, fine.
Flex. Number one is use your flex wisely. Number two, if you have a one position player of focus. For example, Josh Allen. You only play one quarterback this week.
Right.
You have a decision to make, and you may well need to make it well before Tuesday. If your commissioner is not going to follow the advice that Matthew said, which was, hey, I have Josh Allen, but in the event he doesn't play, Kirk Cousins is my backup, and you're going to apply the Kirk Cousins points from Sunday night. If the commissioner does not set that up, and you have to make a decision much earlier than Tuesday, because obviously, there are no quarterbacks besides Josh Allen available on Tuesday if that game is not played. So I think my piece of advice would be, if you have Josh Allen, you could be 4-0 this week, right? And you may say to yourself, I'm cruising through this league right now, and I happen to be playing a weak opponent. And if your commissioner is saying you got to make a decision before Tuesday on Josh Allen, this might be the week where you say, you know what, I'm not going to play with fire. I am going to add a Gardner Minshew or a Kirk Cousins or somebody that has a great matchup this weekend and put that player into your lineup. Now, if somehow you have Josh Allen and your team is down in the dumps, you're 0-4, and you're saying, hey, I could pick up Kirk Cousins, but I can't win my matchup by getting 15 points from Kirk Cousins. I need the 30-point potential of Josh Allen. No risk it, no biscuit, baby. I would consider leaving Josh Allen or Jonnu Smith, guys who are difference makers of their position in that Tuesday game, in that one position spot. Otherwise, I would, again, consider, like, I actually think there are some reasonable quarterback replacements this week that I would sub in for Josh Allen if you're at all nervous or if you feel like, hey, I'm in a really good spot. I got, you know, my opponent started Tom Brady and someone else last night, I don't know, whatever, some other struggling player. Let's move forward here and feel good about just using Kirk Cousins or Gardner Minshew.
Maybe you're playing against a guy that started Scotty Miller
last
night.
Yeah, opponent started Scotty Miller and Tom Brady.
In too many leagues because banged up, bye weeks, what have you. I'm in deeper leagues. And what was that, Scotty Miller?
It wasn't great.
Brutal. Like, Tom Brady didn't even look at him. He ghosted him. Didn't even look at him. Anyway, but yeah, so I mean, like, specific to the quarterback position, Justin Herbert's out there in a lot of leagues. And so what I was saying about with the Saints and Chargers games is that if your league manager / commissioner has said, you can't, we're not doing this. Sorry. You have to make your decision. Okay. You have to make your decision. If he says that, or she says that, then I want to give myself as much time as possible to make that decision because the upside of somebody like Josh Allen is so massive. So I would try to grab Justin Herbert. I'm assuming Drew Brees is rostered in your league. But that's the last game that will be played.
Yep.
You know, the Saints-Charger game, also on ESPN, it's the true Monday night game that will be played. And so that way, if you get to, you know, whatever, 7:45, 8 o'clock on Monday night, and you don't know yet, then you can – or – you'll have more time before a decision is made on that game.
All right. So.
And so the last piece of that I want to say is, to your point, for me, I think Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Jonnu Smith, Derrick Henry. To me, those are the only four guys that I think are good enough and elite enough at their position that it's worth risking it. Other than that, like Ryan Tannehill, Corey Davis, even A.J. Brown, you know, we'll see if he plays. I mean, but, you know, he's been so banged up. Who knows what you're going to get out of A.J. Brown? You know, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Devin Singletary, any of those other guys, those complimentary guys, I'm just not risking it.
I agree on that, but I think you mentioned Corey Davis. I'm sure you know this, but he's on COVID-19 right now. So
sorry, I'm just trying to give an example.
No, I understand. I understand the example entirely. Yes. All right, so here's what we're going to do now, because you kind of got us there, Matthew, is we have our Week 5 Geico insurance ads, and we've got the touchscreen here available. And I'm going to give you five. They are ranked 1 to 5, but I understand that your needs are different. So I can't say that this is a one-size-fits-all 1 to 5 list. But I'm going to get things going here, and I'm going to sort of give you five names. And you mentioned it, Matthew. I think Justin Herbert is the most important ad here because, A, we know he's good, right? I mean, he's shown glimpses of being a very good player. B, you mentioned, you know, certainly I think between Derrick Henry and Josh Allen, those are the two biggest stars that we're concerned with from a fantasy perspective on Tuesday night, right? I mean, Josh Allen might be the fantasy MVP, you know, one of the MVPs.
And it's
right
also,
now,
by the way, there's a decent chance that, like, even with Derrick Henry, you have multiple other running backs on your team. There's a very good chance, especially if you have Josh Allen, he's your only quarterback.
Yep. Okay, I agree on that. So, Justin Herbert, number one. All right, so number two, I'm going to give you Justin Jackson. And the reason why is that you'll see a lot of Patriots on this board. You'll see a lot of Broncos on this board. There still is there's a chance, right? I mean, as Stefania said earlier, none of these teams are out of the woods yet. So Justin Jackson would be number two if you're trying to fill in for a running back spot. We have him around running back 30 in our rankings this week.
Right. No Austin Eckler, obviously. He's going to split the load with Josh Kelly. And remember, basically played about the same amount of snaps as Josh Kelly last week, and Kelly has fumbled each of the last 2 weeks. Yep. So probably a short leash for Kelly on the road against a tough defense in New Orleans.
Number three for me is Damian Harris. I know we have a slightly differing opinion on this player, but again, if the Patriots play and
amongst these names, Damian Harris would be my third choice as well.
And again, potential that Damian Harris carries some value weekly going forward. The Patriots have their bye week in week 6, so you'll have him for just basically 1 week before you can utilize him again. But talented player, and Sonny Michel now on IR. Now, I'm sure there's some open for interpretation stuff here. I think there's a chance that Tim Patrick, now it's a terrible matchup against the Patriots, except for the fact that Stephon Gilmore's on COVID-19.
Yes.
And we don't know for a fact that he could not be activated before Monday night. Probably seems unlikely. Obviously, Cam Newton, another player that we're continuing to monitor the status of. Patriots haven't practiced. We don't have much of an update on Cam and whether he would be available, but be planning for other players at that position because it's smart.
Yeah.
So Tim Patrick, who's got an excellent target share with the Drew Lock quarterback so far, and he's had effective days before.
He has, you know, he'll certainly look good last Thursday night against the Jets, and we'll see who plays quarterback for the Broncos. You know, Drew Lock returned to practice limited basis yesterday. You know, I'm sure Stefania has an update on him at some point, but regardless, it's Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy. They don't have a lot else. Noah Fant banged up, listed as doubtful, I think, at the moment. So, in a game in which the Broncos are going to have to figure out how to move the ball against New England, Tim Patrick should get a decent amount of looks.
Last one here is N'Keal Harry, who is making some progress here for the Patriots. Had a nice touchdown catch this past Monday night from Jarrett Stidham. Obviously, quarterback play is a concern here in New England. But if you need a wide receiver, Harry's had, I think, 3 games with double-digit scoring so far this season. He's found the end zone on multiple occasions. The Patriots have relied upon him relatively heavily as a he's playing a ton, obviously.
Yes,
he's playing a ton, and it's not perfect, but seems to be coming around a little bit. And Cam Newton likes him, so if somehow Cam Newton is there, you would have Cam Newton to N'Keal Harry. He calls him Doughboy. It seems to be a reasonable connection they have so far. So,
but I also think it's important here, Field, that that you really suss out sort of your situation, because there's no one-size-fits-all, right? But as you pointed out, how do you feel about your team after Thursday night against your opponent? Like, did your opponent have like
Allen Robinson and David Montgomery?
Allen Robinson and Ryan Succop? You know what I mean? I'm playing Teddy Bruschi in the War Room League. You know, the great Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi started Ronald Jones, Mike Evans, and Ryan Succop against me. Yeah, he's
smart.
Crushing
I mean,
me.
He should
I'm
be.
Getting crushed
yeah,
like a
should.
Grape and yeah. going into Thursday.
I wish you no
outrageous.
Luck.
Yeah, of course you do. Anyway, listen, you know, and I would talk trash except for the fact that Teddy Bruschi is, you know, as beloved as any person out there. Like, he's so awesome. Even I can't even talk trash to Teddy. I love him. But my point is like, you may be up, you know, coming into Thursday. And so you may like, hey, I want to just be safe here. And you know what? You may have a running back on your roster. Yes, you don't have Derrick Henry, but you picked up Mike Davis. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to play that guy. I prefer the guy on my bench rather than the chance that I get Derrick Henry versus the chance that I have to use Damian Harris.
All right.
So I think it's all just a value proposition of like sort of what do you need? How lucky do you feel? Where are you in the season? And where are you in terms of this matchup?
All right, so we're going to move things forward here in just a moment. But before we do, just one last piece of information in context, and that's Stefania. That's the injuries in these games that we have been discussing. So let's rip through them. I think it probably makes sense to start with Cam Newton.
Yeah, and I think, I just to echo your sentiment, I think I'd be making other plans for Cam. I mean, not only with the recency of the COVID test, but the Patriots being away from their facility and doing virtual workouts, I just think it would be wise to plan as if he's unlikely to be playing. Moving to the Buffalo side, Zach Moss, remember with the toe issue, he was limited in practice all of last week and then ended up not playing in his second consecutive game. He's been limited the last 2 days. There's really not a lot to say whether he's going to play or not. I think it's still very much a question mark. So make sure he'd even be active. And even if he was, I'm not inclined to think he'd be getting a big workload. So you may just want to proactively look elsewhere if you were considering starting Zach Moss. And then John Brown, yesterday aggravated the calf injury that he had been dealing with. Didn't practice on Wednesday. There was a video clip of him running a route and then pulling up and hopping away. So I would say, based on what I saw in that little snippet of video, that's not very encouraging for him to be available, whether they play this game or not.
Yeah, and Stefania, to Matthew's point earlier, I think other than Derrick Henry and also Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, is there one other player that you mentioned?
Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith. I think you're probably just saying, you know what? Even if Zach Moss plays, I'm going to go elsewhere in my lineup. All right, so a lot of injury updates there, and I understand that was a big, long, meaty segment about what could happen and a lot of unknowns there, but I think we all agreed it was important to address, and we'll address it further on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. And you know it would be a great idea if you're going to wake up early? Wake up with Wendy's breakfast on Sunday. If you haven't tried it yet, Wendy's breakfast menu is definitely something you don't want to sleep on. Pick from fan faves like our Breakfast Baconator, Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit, and Frosty Chino. Or mix and match to make your own breakfast dream team. How about that for a morning win? Wendy's breakfast. Spread the word at participating U.S. Wendy's.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance,
I don't know.
You ask? Well, I'll tell you, Field, you switch to Geico during Geico-ween.
You're so good at that.
Thank you, Field. I appreciate it very much. October is Geico's favorite time of the year, and Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the thing you may not know about Geico. They could also help you uncover more ways to save on the other things you park in your driveway. Like Matthew, your beloved motorcycle, or Field, your boat, or Stefania, your home away from home, the RV you take to training camp every fall.
Yeah.
August.
You know what?
August.
I'm going to do that next year.
Geico, well, if right. you do
it's
that a, next
it's
year.
The bell on wheels.
That's you know what? Right. Maybe I'll have a Geico-sponsored RV.
I think that's not a bad idea, Geico. I hope you're listening because.
Can I just pitch a reality show of Stefania and the Geico Gecko driving around the country in an RV, just bringing little magic to each other. It's like, and they, you know what? Like, it's a little animated show. It's like there's the Geico Gecko and Stefania, and they're driving around the RV, solving mysteries.
Oh,
is what
so
they
great.
Do. They drive around in the RV and they solve mysteries, but they're medical related mysteries.
Oh my gosh!
Like, who's not watching that?
I am right now.
Obviously,
sign me up.
Come on.
$4.99 a month.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Geico could even help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. So visit geico.com today. You'll see firsthand that switching your insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that'll haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much you could have saved if you had switched sooner. Geico, 15 minutes or more could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Happy Geico-ween, everybody.
Happy Geico-ween, Daniel Dopp. And it's time now to wish Stefania Bell a happy Geico-ween and also ask you about a bunch of players that are banged up and not one, but two missed practices so far for Lamar Jackson. Stefania, me, the 0-4 Field Yates in the war room, not feeling great. Should I be doubly concerned given that Lamar Jackson hasn't practiced yet this week?
Well, I don't think you need to be too worried. Sounds like the Ravens are optimistic that he's going to play. That's the plan. But on the injury report Wednesday because of a knee issue, which at the time didn't sound serious, and then added next to knee on Thursday was illness. Sounds like it was a stomach issue that was bothering him. But again, the Ravens expect him to play, so I don't think they're dealing with anything serious here. And then Mark Andrews added to the injury report on Thursday, limited. And it's interesting because when it first came out, it limited and there was no injury designation. So folks thought it was, who covered the team, thought not injury related. Then later it said thigh issue. We hope to find out more today, but as you guys know, Mark Andrews often plays through things, so we'll see just how serious this is today.
All right, and how about Julio Jones, who, and by the way, that's really good news on the Ravens players, and pretty simple. They play, you play them, and it sounds like both will play. For the Falcons, though, Stefania, they're 0-4, they're reeling, and it sounds like they might be now dealing with the absence of Julio Jones, and he left last week's game at halftime and has yet to practice this week.
Yeah, you've got to presume inactive, right? Because the number one risk for these hamstring injuries is a recurrence, and when he couldn't get through a single game after not practicing, was iffy to go, why would you play him this week after he's not been able to practice and he's clearly not 100%? You know, he acknowledged before last week that he wasn't 100%, but we're used to seeing him be able to play through things. Hamstring injuries are a different animal entirely, and when you can't run down the field, you're not going to be very effective as a receiver. So I expect Julio to miss this game.
Okay. That's why I'm not in the NFL.
Why
I can't run down the field effectively. That's what Tanya's saying. It's hard to be a wide receiver.
That's
in the NFL.
That's it.
Gotcha.
Run down the field effectively. By the way, I just want to congratulate Secret Squirrel on your crazy years long never Julio stance finally paying off this season.
It's about time, man.
Yeah. Well,
it's about time. I love Julio. Julio was always good. He was just not. He's the Shawshank Redemption.
How about Calvin Ridley, Stefania? Is he okay now? Is he good? I mean, I understand he had a 0-for-0 last week, but
right. I mean, he had the ankle issue last
Scotty
week.
Miller. I prefer to call it a Scotty Miller.
Yeah, and I think it was just the coverage as well. I mean, actually, Matt Ryan spoke about that afterward. Just felt like he couldn't get open. So he, and maybe part of that was due to the fact that he was playing on an ankle injury that kept him limited all week. But I do think that Calvin Ridley is more likely to play this week.
I will say this: if the Julio situation turns for the better, I think we'll have a healthy conversation on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday about whether it's worth playing it, because it didn't pay off last week and just 4-for-32 for Julio. All right, one more, Stefania, before we get to some quick hitters and maybe some good news finally. Michael Thomas.
It's possible. I mean, it's certainly looking like things are going the right direction for Michael Thomas to come back this week. This guy has been pushing to return, and I think the medical staff has been appropriately conservative because they're always going to look at the long haul, and with high ankle sprains and a guy that important to the team, you don't want to bring him back and then have him go out for multiple weeks. So I think he felt like he was ready to go last week. The bottom line is they insisted on another week. And I think this weekend is the first time that you see him.
Of course, they play Monday night, so the official injury report will be out either Saturday or Sunday, depending on how expedient.
I can't keep track of what days we're playing games anymore.
It's Monday Night Football for the Saints and the Chargers. Perhaps Drew Brees' final Monday Night Football game ever.
I will say, look, I don't, you know, we want everyone to be healthy, 100% healthy, right? And this scheduling has thrown so many things out of whack. I will say, though, if you can find one small silver lining in all this craziness and all this awfulness, double games on Monday and a game on Tuesday. Come on. I'm going to watch games all day Sunday, and then I'm going to watch two on Monday, and then I'm going to watch a game on Tuesday. Okay, I'll write my little column on Wednesday. Then I got a Thursday night game, although that's going to be pushed back, obviously.
Yes,
there's not going to be a replacement Thursday night game, correct?
As of right now, there will not be. We'll discuss that more on Monday if we have an update.
Right. But whatever. I'm just saying.
Well, that's also
a give me football every day of the week.
Stefania. All right. So Michael Thomas, as is reflected in our rankings, if he plays, you play him. We'll have much better information. I think we'll have clarity by Sunday morning at the latest. Now, quick hitters, Stefania, there are a bunch of players that popped up on their injury report. In some cases, a new issue, like Joe Mixon with the Bengals.
Yeah, this one's odd, right? He was added on Thursday with a shin injury. Not sure what that means. I mean, typically the shin, there's not much you can do other than sustain a bruise there. He was present during the portion of practice that was open to the media yesterday, so it had to be something that happened afterward. Stay tuned to see what happens in Friday practice, but no word yet on the seriousness of this injury. Over in San Francisco, Raheem Mostert back and doing a little bit of work, and I think they're very encouraged about how he looks. I'm not sure that he'll be ready to play this week. Kyle Shanahan's left the door open, saying he has a chance, but why would they rush him back when they've been cautious with everybody else? I think Jimmy Garoppolo more likely to play than Raheem Mostert. And Jerick McKinnon.
Not his name, by the way. What's his name, Stefania?
Oh, Raheem Mostert.
There you go. That's my girl. Yes, there we go. Thank you very
but
much.
But he may not be a Mostert this week.
I know.
Moving on.
Raheem may not start. Yeah. Maybe his name, yeah.
You know, Jerick McKinnon has been doing a little more work than I think we expected early on, given that he had basically missed two seasons in the NFL, but has been doing work that he's been comfortable handling. And so far, Jerick McKinnon has done all of it and stayed healthy, even though he's appeared on the injury report with various bumps and bruises, including a rib issue. I expect Jerick McKinnon to be fine for the weekend. Odell Beckham popped up on the injury report because of a toe issue in Cleveland. No word on the severity of that, but again, they are limiting him with the hopes of having him available this week. I do not think this is a major issue for him. And Kareem Hunt, who had a groin injury that had him very uncertain to start last week, ends up starting and playing quite a bit and looked really good doing it. So I think the maintenance of going between a heavy workload last week and playing this week is why he's been limited in practice. But Kareem Hunt should be ready to go. Game time. I'm not going to say Sunday anymore because I don't know what day is.
Supposedly Sunday. Not that the social media team always has all the information, but the Browns have been plastering Odell as like their guy of the week, the wallpaper you're getting set up for week five. Odell's going to give it a go on Sunday. The only other thing, so I think I think those are all about status quo, what you'd expect from those players. Again, if anything changes, we'll have more of an update on Fantasy Football Now Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So we have a few players.
On ESPN 2.
Yes, there are a few things that are happening, a few players that are returning this week, whether it's from prolonged injury instances, whether it's from bye weeks, and we're going to get into whether we can trust them. And let me tell you guys what Matthew Berry always says. Trust is a strong word.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you, Matthew. Le'Veon Bell, we think, will return on Sunday if the Jets play, and we'll see. And as of right now, there's been no clarity on that matter. But he currently ranks, Daniel has him up at 17, I think the highest amongst rankers. Matthew, you might be the lowest at 25. He makes your hate list this week. So you're benching Le'Veon Bell if you can?
Yes, if I can.
Okay. Like,
what about the Jets' offense gives you any sort of confidence whatsoever?
Trevor Lawrence is pretty sweet.
Yeah, next year. Next year.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, Trevor Lawrence next year. But, you know, Joe Flacco looks like he's going to be under center for, you know, I mean, who knows. But if the Jets play, looks like it's going to be Joe Flacco. I mean, listen, they're 31st in yards per carry before his first contact. That's all Jets running backs here, right? They've had 8 red zone carries this entire year. Nothing that you saw from Le'Veon Bell before he left with an injury gave you any sort of confidence. Nothing that we've seen from the Jets offense gives you any sort of idea that you're like, oh, this is an offense that's going to be in scoring position quite a bit. Like, if you start Le'Veon Bell, what you're doing is you're banking on insane volume. You're banking on the fact that Joe Flacco checks down to him a ton and that he gets insane volume and hopefully he falls into the end zone. But there's literally nothing in the underlying numbers or just from watching Jets games this year that gives you any semblance of confidence in any aspect of the Jets offense, with the exception maybe of Jamison Crowder.
I was going to say, there actually is one piece of underlying evidence that you like, which is that Mike Clay pounded a couple times this week. He played 100% of the snaps before he got hurt, did Le'Veon Bell. So I think that will be the pro
insane
Le'Veon
volume.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have him as a low-end RB2. You have him as a flex consideration.
Yep.
But if you can, you may find other options. Just a reminder, again, as of about 45 minutes ago, Adam Schefter is reporting the Jets have a presumptive positive case amongst a player in their building. They have sent all players and coaches and, I would think, everybody home from the facility. We'll see whether that impacts their game on Sunday. Our EA Madden NFL 21 rising star is Deontay Johnson. Go all out in Madden NFL 21. It's available now. Before we discuss his outlooks,
you know who's in the Madden 21 game?
I'm assuming it's you because you asked.
Yeah, it's me. You know who else?
Stefania Bell.
Stefania Bell.
One, you had to balance it out.
Yeah.
We're going to have Matthew. We've got to have someone to drag.
Someone people like.
Correct.
Right.
which is why we have Stefania Bell to give us an update on Deontay Johnson.
You know who else is in the game?
Probably Lamar Jackson.
Mike Clay.
Wow, nice.
Congrats Mike Clay's in the game.
Wow.
Just point out.
You knew it was not
in the
game.
Are you in the game?
No, I'm not.
We'll get that field.
But you know what? I can get you a copy of the game.
Oh, I'll tell you. Gotcha.
Last year, because you weren't in the game field, I made a franchise, and then I named my coach, and my coach was Field Yates. So I made sure to find a way to get you in the game.
Wow. How'd our team do?
Yeah, how'd the team do?
It's not fair. I'm really good at Madden. So
How about that? I'm a Super Bowl winning head coach. You're bald. Stefania, Deontay Johnson. He was banged up. Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, it's in the game.
No, it's a fact. I do prefer the phrase balding. Again, with an ing. I have some hair. I'm not fully bald yet. I'm getting there. I'm on the road, Stefania. But I'm not at my destination yet.
That's a good point. Stefania,
all right, there's a little bit of hair there, okay? I'm balding.
Do you remember that year we got raided in Madden?
Yeah.
You guys don't want to know what Matthew got rated, do you?
Maybe next year I'll be there. Stefania, let's talk about Deontay Johnson, who had a concussion. He's out of concussion protocol, but it's the foot that's sort of been creeping up on him.
Right. Well, but he's been managing this for a number of weeks now, and he's played really well. Despite, I always worry about foot/toe problems, running backs, wide receivers. But this is something that he has played through and performed well. So this is not alarming to me. And I actually think, given the fact that their game, they ended up with a bye week, it actually worked out well for him because he got that extra week of recovery coming off the concussion. So I like Deontay Johnson this week.
All right. And Matthew, the only thing to keep an eye on here is that he could be facing off against a Darius Slay shadow. Juju Smith-Schuster most likely going to exclusively play in the slot or close to it, as he almost always does. So because of Deontay Johnson vis-a-vis Darius Slay, is that going to be enough to push him out of your starting lineups?
I mean, maybe. Look, I'm at wide receiver 23 for the week, so slightly outside the top 20. I mean, I really like him. Again, we talk about volume. He's a guy that got double-digit targets in weeks 1 and 2. We expect Ben to have a good game here. I do think Ben, off the bye, has a real nice game here, and he's going to be looking for, obviously, not only Juju, but Deontay Johnson as well. I think he's a really talented guy. Obviously, Slay is a terrific corner, but they'll move Deontay Johnson around enough, and sometimes he'll play out of the slot, mostly out of the perimeter, but they'll have some snaps and packages for Johnson. So, yeah, I mean, again, do I have him as high as I normally would in a given week? I don't. I'm at wide receiver 23, but if you need him as an option this week, I don't think you should. He's not somebody that I would just bench because of Darius Slay. I just lower expectations.
Stefania, Sean McVay is by many accounts the head coach MVP of fantasy football, as he gives us updates that are very useful and insightful. What's his update on Cam Akers?
Cam Akers looks good this week. In fact, Cam Akers was a full participant in practice yesterday. And the reason that's important is he's been dealing with a rib cartilage injury. These are very, very painful. Thursday is the heaviest practice day for the team. And so it really gives him a chance to see how does he respond to that workload. Because it's not just the contact. It's, wearing pads. It's breathing. It's just the run and bump of going through practice. Does that aggravate the condition? So if there's no setback between what happened yesterday in practice and today, that's a really good test for Cam Akers, and expect him to be out there this week.
If you were running 100 Madden simulations that involve the Rams backfield, how many of them do you envision that a player scores, let's say 12 to 15 points amongst the backs? And then B, if you were to imagine those simulations, what percentage of them are Daryl Henderson is that guy? What percentage of them are Malcolm Brown is that guy? And what percentage of them is it would be Cam Akers that guy?
So for this weekend, first off, I think if I ran a 1,000, is that what you said, or 100?
Yeah, whatever.
100 simulations, I would say they get to that point threshold, I don't know, 90, 95 times. I think at least one running back does.
Yep.
In terms of who it is, I would probably put it at 40% Daryl Henderson, 30% Malcolm Brown, 30% Cam Akers.
Okay.
Maybe 45-30. The thing is here is just it's a little bit of how lucky do you feel? I mean, because you think about week 1 and Malcolm Brown was awesome And then the very next week, it was Daryl Henderson. And, you know, weeks two and three, it was the Daryl Henderson show. And you're like, okay, good. We have some clarity in the Rams' backfield. Daryl Henderson's ran for over 120 yards in two straight weeks. And then week four, it was none of them. But it was, you know, if you had to pick a guy from that game that you would have liked, it was Malcolm Brown, who played more snaps, got more run than Daryl Henderson in a game that, you know, neither guy really shown, you know, showed up really fantasy-wise against the Giants. And so now it's just kind of like, maybe it's Cam Akers, maybe Henderson, maybe Malcolm Brown. I think that Daryl Henderson, we haven't seen enough of Cam Akers, but I think Daryl Henderson's the most explosive guy. And so it does seem clearly that McVay is going with a hot hand approach. So who's most likely to get the hot hand on Sunday? I think it's Daryl Henderson, who has more big playability than Malcolm Brown. And I think he's just a better running back. I know they like Malcolm Brown and pass pro and everything like that, but I just, pure talent-wise, give me Henderson over Brown. Akers still finding his way back, and if he plays, is he going to be 100%? I don't think he gets a full workload this week, although if he shows some flashes, I'm sure they'll keep feeding him. But that's why I say like 40-30-30. I have Henderson ranked the highest of these three guys, but it is. It's going to be a hot hand approach. It's a little bit of a committee, and it's just kind of how lucky do you feel?
Well said on all that. It's a difficult backfield to predict. And again, I said this last week, I'm not so sure I really want any part of this Rams backfield now or going forward.
And I'll say this. I think if Sean McVay were here right now and was being 100% honest, and we said, all right, who do we want to start? I think McVay would say, like, I don't know. I mean, I literally think it's just like he started on week two, like Henderson, like Henry kept, you know, in week one, Malcolm Brown started to get some run. They're like, keep feeding Malcolm. Weeks two and three, it was Henderson. You know, nothing was going right for them in week four. I literally think it is, we're going to get, all these guys going to touch the ball, and we're going to see what we see as a spark, and we're going to see what's working for us against Washington, and we're going to go with that guy.
It makes things very complicated.
It really does.
I'm confused. If Sean McVay doesn't know, then I certainly don't know myself. The rising generations of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got to the league. Now it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21. Available now.
You know, when it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like a lot of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding the time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. You know what? That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find the people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check this out. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, so we got a bunch of players that are either in new roles or amplified roles this week, I suppose. One and the same here. Let's begin with Kareem Hunt, Matthew, who, Stefania said earlier, should be good to go with that groin injury. He makes your love list this week as well.
Why wouldn't he? So here's a guy who's the 7th best running back on the season so far, and that was with him splitting time with Nick Chubb. The Browns have a higher rush percentage than any other team in the NFL. They love to run the ball, and now Nick Chubb is obviously on IR. He's going to miss some time, and while he's out, I believe Kareem Hunt is a top 5-ish running back. Right. So, you know, for the week, I have him inside my top 10, you know, as do you, as does Secret Squirrel. We're all very high on Kareem Hunt. Think about this. Nick Chubb averaged 17 carries per game for the Cleveland Browns through the first 3 weeks. For his career, when Kareem Hunt gets 17 carries a game, averages 21.9 fantasy points per game. Now, the Colts are a tough defense. They're a top 10 run defense. However, their linebacking core is really beat up. And so Kareem Hunt, who's so used in the passing game, who's a good running back between the tackles as well, is going to get the majority of work here. You'll see some D'Ernest Johnson. I don't think they want Kareem Hunt to have all of it. And you heard Stefania talk about the groin injury earlier in the show. But the fact is that Kareem Hunt, who led the NFL in rushing as a rookie, is an insanely talented running back behind a very good offensive line on a run-heavy team. I think he is going to be just a fantasy monster as long as Nick Chubb is out.
Good stuff there. I wanted to update a story, by the way, just quickly. Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinals general manager, is on radio this morning, and basically what he is saying is what you'd expect him to say. We'll prepare as normal and adjust as necessary. So no information concretely passed along to the Arizona Cardinals as of yet. Another quote here from Keim. I don't want to speculate on anything without having a complete set of facts. So status quo there for the Cardinals. As we reminded earlier on the show, the Jets have a presumptive positive case in their building right now. They will go through subsequent retesting. D'Ernest Johnson's the backup to Kareem Hunt, Matthew, and played really well last week. AAF superstar D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah, shout out to the Orlando Apollos.
However, do we think it's possible?
I went with a whole Orlando Apollo stack. I did an AAF fantasy football league.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like Garrett Gilbert was their quarterback,
right,
and Charles Johnson, their wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. Steve Spurrier was the head coach of the Orlando Apollos. I crushed the competition in this league, and that competition included Secret Squirrel. You were in that AAF league with me.
I was.
Yeah.
I hated it, and I've tried to block it out from my memory because you never stop talking about how you won a dumb league for something that nobody else cares about.
Undefeated. Never stop talking
I went
about
undefeated
it.
By, like, I had Trent Richardson. Right. It was like, awesome.
Of all the things you want to talk about, like the whole Marvel thing, the fine, do that.
I mean,
but the
Daniel,
AAF league,
in his defense, it was his first ever fantasy football championship.
You
got to celebrate accordingly.
That's
not true at all. Would you like to see my War Room League victory trophy, which you do not have?
Oh, my God. Well,
I don't think you want to go there.
You've been in the league for 13 years.
Yeah, sorry. All right, so listen, D'Ernest Johnson, former Orlando Apollo, now Cleveland Brown, and in line to get work that, you know, Nick Chubb has left on the table. Again, I expect Kareem Hunt to get the majority of it, and you'll see some Dontrell Hilliard as well here. But D'Ernest Johnson, you know, who's available in about three-fourths of ESPN leagues right now, like, you know, had 22 touchdowns in college his final two seasons in South Florida. Like, was performed well last week in, you know, when he got into the game, looked the part, almost 100 total yards. And so D'Ernest Johnson is somebody that I think is pretty interesting. And again, same environment that we just talked about for Kareem Hunt. Very good offensive line, run heavy offense. So you could do worse in a season in which, you know, you're scrambling around, right? Aaron Jones is on a bye, and there may be some other running backs missing.
Josh Kelly, we think, is the next man up in this Chargers backfield with Austin Eckler. Again, he has not been put on IR yet, so when that happens, or if that happens, you can put him on IR in your league, or if he is ruled out for the week. Josh Kelly seems like the next man up for the Chargers with Justin Jackson mixed in. How high in your rankings does Josh Kelly climb?
Yeah, not really high. I mean, listen, there is going to be a decent amount of workload, and it's a good offense. But I have him just outside my top 20. If you're seeing there on the screen, they have you, Field, and Mike's rankings there, all outside the top 20. I'm with you guys as well. I have him outside my top 20.
I think maybe might be adjusted. I actually have him inside my top 20. Josh Kelly and Daniel, I think.
Now that we pulled out
Thursday night players, I've got him at 17. Daniel's got him at 21. You've got him at 22.
Exactly. So there you go. So the point is here, but you know, love hate list is all about expectations, and you may not have a better choice than to start Josh Kelly, but I just would caution people to, you know, to look a little close here at all their options. Last 2 weeks, he's averaged under 10 fantasy points a game. He's fumbled in each of the last 2 weeks. Justin Jackson is more the veteran. Again, Kelly, who was so impressive in week one, has really not been that impressive since that time. And obviously, the Saints are pretty good past run defense, I should say, sixth fewest yards allowed to opposing running backs here. So Josh Kelly does make me a little bit nervous. I'm lower on him. You know, I have lower expectations for him. His first game is the starting running back.
Feels like one of those where it's like it's going to go to one extreme or the other. Like, it's going to get 25 total touches, and it's going to be like, wow, this guy's got tremendous value until Austin Eckler returns. Or it's going to be a maddening split, and it's going to be Justin Jackson who outpoints him this week. Here.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm okay with a split because, I mean, we've seen, especially on the Chargers, that, you know, both running backs can have value in this offense. I'd be fine with a split, but, I mean, I guess I'm hedging my bets here a little bit here by saying, you know, hey, like, again, I have him just outside my top 20 for the week, and so you may, but I'm just saying, like, I think most people are like, whoa, no Austin Eckler. He's going to be a fantasy rock star, and I'm just like, I need to see it first because he was great in week one, and I believe in the talent of the player. He's a kid that I like coming out of UCLA, but it's been inconsistent, right? And when you're fumbling, when you're a rookie and you're fumbling the ball, like, your running back, your former NFL running back head coach does not like that.
Yeah, your leash is typically pretty pretty short in those circumstances. Just a couple of streaming defenses to mention for those that maybe are looking to make an alternative arrangement for the Titans or the Bills, or perhaps two of the teams that are on the bye this week, specifically the Packers. The Cardinals, if they play, they're available in 50% of leagues. And a reminder, it's Joe Flacco who's starting for the Jets at quarterback. Do you really think, by the way, the Jets are allowing a league-high 12.8 fantasy points per game to opposing defenses thus far this season, so there's some value there.
If they play.
I know it sounds wild because the Cowboys have been atrocious defensively, but the Giants have 3 touchdowns in 4 games. Would you ever consider playing the Cowboys defense as a streaming option this week? Is that just lunacy there?
It's not lunacy given how bad the Giants have looked and how turnover-prone Daniel Jones has been.
Right.
But I actually think this is a – listen, I'm an apologist. Obviously, I'm a Daniel Jones apologist. But I think this is a get right. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather bet on the Giants' offense getting right against Dallas than the Cowboys suddenly figuring it out. You know what I mean? Like, I tend not to like defenses – banking on defenses that where the whole point of playing them is they're playing a brutal team, because these are still professional NFL teams.
Mm.
Jason Garrett playing his old team, by the way,
revenge game, baby,
revenge game.
Yeah, it's a big
time
narrative
for the offensive coordinator
right
for the Giants, and I don't know. I think for me, I would rather err on the side of the Giants getting off the schneid offensively than the Cowboys having a huge defensive game. One thing I want to mention here, real quickly, as we talked about at the top of the show. How, listen, Josh Allen, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, Jonnu Smith, it's worth taking that risk. Everyone else, no. I would say that again we talked about the single position players. I know the Bills defense is great, but I'm not messing with the Bills or Titans defense. I'm not messing with their kickers.
Yeah,
I'm finding something else. And I know it's tough. You don't want to roster 2 defenses, generally speaking, but just for how I would approach this week, I wouldn't want to mess with defenses or kickers on either of those 2 teams.
And again, a reminder that league managers have the option to make an extra IR slot effective right now. So you could potentially get some new flexibility for your roster. We always like to do this at the end of the week here. Just a couple of names that you should keep in mind that could pop up on the waiver wire next week, but you might want to jump ahead this week, because next week we have multiple teams on a bye, including the Saints, including the Raiders, including the Seahawks, including the Patriots in week 6. So those are some pretty solid fantasy offenses right there. So some names to keep in mind that could be waiver wire considerations right now. We'll start at running back. Chase Edmonds, talked about him earlier on this week. I'm a little bit less optimistic. You still think he's an ad. He's an insurance policy to Kenyon Drake. We just mentioned Justin Jackson, who, of course,
I think he's the most talented running back on that team.
Ooh, spicy right there. Spicy. Justin Jackson.
I don't think that's that spicy a take.
Either. I think it is. I think Kenyon Drake's more talented, but it's
you
close.
Scroll your thoughts.
I think that Kenyon Drake is more talented because they wouldn't have let go of David Johnson and paid him all that money. So I think they think Kenyon Drake is more talented. However, Chase Edmonds is plenty talented, and I'm 100% with you that if anything happens, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening in that backfield right now.
Justin Jackson, we just mentioned for the Chargers, a worthwhile ad as well. And then, hey, Gus Edwards. The Ravens run the football a ton.
They do.
You get some run. If you're deep, if you're desperate and you're in a deep league, I think it's a worthwhile consideration. Quarterbacks in week 6, obviously Cam Newton, Drew Brees.
I'd prefer, like we just talked about, D'Ernest Johnson, who's 76% available.
Sure. No, these are just names
I've
provided.
Other names to consider.
Keep in mind. Gardner Minshew, name to keep in mind for next week. Kirk Cousins has back-to-back good matchups starting this week with the Seahawks in Seattle, and then next week home to Atlanta, a defense that we think can be exposed. And then finally, Justin Herbert, who we talked about at the beginning of the show. He gets the Saints on Monday. Really good matchup next week. The Jets on Sunday. That game is at home. So the Jets traveling across the country, potentially without Sam Darnold. Really good options right there. And then just 4 wide receiver names. Golden Tate, who returns. He plays the Washington football team next week. I thought it was like the one team in the NFC East he hasn't played for, it feels like. LaVisca Chenault Jr.
Not returns, though. He's been back.
I thought he was going to return to a former team, and then I forgot that he's only played for the Eagles.
Just to clarify.
Yes, he is back. Because the Giants are all playing this week against the Cowboys on Sunday. LaVisca Chenault Jr. for the Jaguars. We know we've seen him in a bunch of different positions and roles for Jacksonville so far. Cole Beasley has been good for the Bills and is getting healthier as well. I think he was managing an injury earlier on in the week. And then Zach Pascal for the Colts. Somebody has to catch passes, and right now it is not T.Y. Hilton for Indianapolis. So are we going to do Geico before this, or are we going to have time? Okay, we're going to say close. We're going to say goodbye instead. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we're going to say goodbye.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff we didn't get to, a lot of names we would have loved to get to, but everyone's got social media. You guys have Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning.
Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. I know that Matthew's Love Hate is out from Thursday. Yep. Very much a worthwhile read. We're going to have all the latest updates on injuries from Stefania. And, of course, plenty more information that could change between now and Sunday with not just the Titans and Bills game, but also the Patriots and the Broncos game, and now potentially the Jets and the Cardinals game. So a lot of situations to keep a close eye on going into Sunday morning with right now two games on Monday night and one game on Tuesday evening. Anything else you want to get in there?
Just that, you know, we're all obviously very active on social media, and it's even more so it's going to be this weekend. So follow at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. Follow at Daniel Dopp on the Twitter and at Something to Break on Instagram. Follow at Stefania_ESPN on Twitter and at Stefania Bell on the gram. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I am merely at Matthew Berry. So follow all of us and be sure to tune into Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, ESPN2. All 3 hours we will dive into it. We'll have reporters all across the country getting you up to date on everything that has happened. So for Field, for Kyle, for Daniel Dopp, for Stefania Bell, for myself and everyone else, we'll see you soon. Peace out. Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.